Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, because you have given us the desire and the hunger for you, that we might seek to quench that hunger by continually knowing you. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because you have called us to so great a fellowship with you, O Father, that we shall not exchange that for anything. We shall not exchange the intimacy of our relationship for anything, but it shall be at the forefront of everything that we do. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because even so have you set us apart for that purpose, that you might be, that we might be the people that you commune with, that you show yourself forth through, and that we shall be light in the darkness, even as we seek your face, even as we continually be in your presence. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So somebody say, I am a star in God's movie.
I am a star in God's movie.
And star tougher. Yeah, this, the star is only ruptured. Eh? You know, a while ago, like about last week, there was a looming spirit of death, and some people felt it. I felt it. I woke up in the night and I could feel there was something that was deathly in the atmosphere. I spoke to Gabriel here and he had also noticed it, but of course some people didn't. But what we do is, you pray and make sure that, okay, what the Lord was leading us to pray about, glory to God. And I know that these things, when they come, they don't go alone. It comes, and when it goes, some people have died. Eh? But it's certain kind of people. Eh? Not you. Eh? That's why I say that start a fire. Eh? Glory to God. But it's certain kind of people, and you saw them and you heard them. Eh? Now, praise the Lord. Eh? But you see, if you believe in the scriptures, eh, and you really believe in them, eh, then you know that certain things are not supposed to be in your realm of possibility. Eh? But still, it is not a good thing, even when it happens to anybody. But we have to pray when things like that happen. Glory to God. Now, today, open your Bibles to Psalms 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Verse 9. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle, else they will not come near you. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm telling you that there is no point in us coming here and giving you information about the times in which we are living and training you that we are living in the end time unless it is going to lead you into a relationship with God. Amen? That is the whole purpose of it all. Because in the end time, people who have been used to operating the way the church has been operating, it is not going to be enough. Okay? When times change, you have to change. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. You see, there was a time when the Pharisees' righteousness was the mark. Then he comes and says, now unless it exceeds that, you will by no means enter the kingdom. Now, so you, the things that were done before, which become some kind of formality, a religion, and things like that, where everything is done according to, you know, precept. This is what we do, this is how we do this, this is how we do this. Now, things like that can no longer work, by the way. And now the people who are going to stand out in these end times are people who actually have a relationship on a daily basis with God. Amen? Now, here is the thing. God actually is yearns so much to have that kind of relationship with you. And here is the thing. It doesn't matter where you start from. When you start, he will start at that level. Amen? Now, and that relationship has got to be intimate. And let me tell you this. Every kind of intimacy comes from God. God is the master of intimacy. Amen? That's why he can tell you something and tell you don't tell anybody. Now, when you're childish, you say, why did he tell me if he doesn't want me to tell other people? But you have to understand that there are no two people who are intimate, like married or something, who do not have secrets between them. The minute those secrets, which are supposed to be between two people, start coming out, then you know the relationship is on the rocks. True or false? Now, there are certain things which, if you're lovers, only you know about the other person, and the other person knows those things about you. And it's between the two of you, and nobody is. Now, God comes and tells people things which they are not supposed to reveal, just for the purpose of intimacy. So, now you're the only, and you will not tell that to anybody else. It's specifically for you. Then he comes and tells you something which is unique to you and says, did you know that there is this and this and this? Then you keep quiet. Now, so many years later, he might tell you now you can reveal it. But by that time, there are other secrets which are built. Then he says, now that one you can say it, that one you can say it. Now, there was a time when every time you have any kind of experience, any spiritual experience or anything, the next thing, bam, I'm there talking. I'm on the pulpit telling you, do you know what happened last night? Do you know this? And then you realize that sometimes, many times, it wasn't actually for communicating. Eh? But that was childishness. Glory to God. But God does that because he's building intimacy. And until people understand that the purpose of all this, now, in these end times, whatever you are in, everybody is in the ministry. That's why you're here. You understand? Eh? Now, there are people who have learned this completely. And I hear them come, some of them come to office and speak to me, and you look at them and marvel. Now, one of them came to me this past week. He was, he sells, okay, hardware in town, eh? And he's a former Muslim, eh? From his name. But the guy came and told me that he was at the partners meeting. So he told me, as soon as you started saying, radio, the Lord spoke to me and told me that you pay 3 months for Mbade. So I wanted to know if he really knows what he's talking about. So I started, you know, getting into a conversation, and I sometimes do that to just know if, because people would say the Lord told me, and after a few sentences, you can know if he knows what he's saying or if he's just saying, you understand, eh? So then I tell him that, you know, then he told me stories of, you know, now every money, now he has learned the biggest principle of financial prosperity, which even so many people, even in ministry, actually, especially in ministry, don't understand. And that is the principle of stewardship. Okay? Now, the guy tells me that the other day, I had this amount of money. Then the Lord told me, now that one, give it to so-and-so. Now the other one needs money. Now, then I understood from the conversation that he does not, every money he has, God has to tell him, now that one, eat it. Now that one is for rent. Now this one, KCCA people are coming. Now, the way the Lord confirms to you that it is him, is he will tell you something ahead, which you did not know. You understand, eh? So he told me he had 50,000. So they came and KCCA, you know, taxes. So they gave him the taxes you're supposed to pay. He went and paid. But the guy who came wanted a bribe of 50,000. So he said, if you don't bribe, I'll charge you for retainers. And that meant you would have to, I mean, rather wholesalers. That meant you'd have to pay about 500,000 extra. So he actually had the money and was considering it. The Lord told him, I actually told you to give that money to the other person. And if you do what I'm telling you, that guy from KCA is not going to come back. So he did, and the guy didn't come back. You understand? Eh? So now he is walking in the principle of being guided by God day by day. Of course, there is a reason why God does these things. Eh? Because all the people who are going to be of who are going to be part of this end time army has been prepared behind the scenes, and God is telling them small things, small. Now I know from, of course, you can just tell that this is somebody who is being prepared to be a kingdom financer. But the first thing God teaches you from the beginning that your money is not yours. Okay? Now once you learn that, there is nothing in the world, and you stay in it, that can stop you from being a billionaire. Nothing. Because when you surrender your small money to him, he will surrender his big to you. You understand? Eh? Now, this guy is being trained in the principle of stewardship. Eh? This one, give it so-and-so. Now, this one, the other one. Now, that one is yours. This one, eat it. This one, eh? Now, this one is for what? Now, so he came and told me now, the Lord told me, 3 months' rent, mbale, eh? Specifically, mbale, this is the money for Radio Mbale. Now, of course, at the beginning of all this, everybody is at the level of, I give my tithe, I give my offering. It's still your money, you understand? Eh? It's not God's, it's yours. Eh? But you give him part of yours, which is a good thing. Eh? But, and that will cause you to prosper. But the real, real prosperity comes when somebody understands that I have nothing of my, even me myself, I'm not my own, you understand? Eh? So nothing that I have belongs to me. So I just listen to instructions. Now when you do that and God trains you in it, for a short while, you'll be at that operating at small levels for a short while until he understands that now you've learned. Then he will unleash. That's that. Now, I told you I've spoken this before when I was talking about Kenneth Copeland, how the Lord told him that I want 500,000, $500,000. There's somebody I promised to give it to by Friday. So find that money for me and give it to that guy by Friday. So all his account was 300,000. So he got the 300,000 and went and talked to some. You know, at that level, you have people who understand the Lord and who know that you know what God is saying. So he told them, listen, God told me to get 500,000. I have 300,000. So they collected it between themselves and went and gave the person the money whom the Lord had promised. You understand? Now, so instances like that happen again and again and again and again. Then the next thing you hear, then the Lord tells him, go and buy the other piece of land somewhere. Then he goes and buys it. Then they discover oil in it. Then he becomes a millionaire. You understand? Eh? That's how it works. Then it just continues coming on and on. Then you just know that I have all these millions, but none of them is mine. But of course, as a steward, God, you chew, eh? But... But God tells you, now that one you just have a blast. Eh? Now, the other day, man of God was saying, God told him that, I want you to build a house, eh? Like the best house you can think of, eh? Like no limitations. Anything that you can think of that you've ever fancied, just build it. So he built it, and it made so many religious people angry. But you see, by the time you get to that level, you've been working with God. Eh? Now, the trouble is people think that somebody is unleashed, and he came out of the blue. There's nobody who comes out of the blue. There are people who come whom I know every... Now, there's the other day some guy was telling me that angels come and wake him up at 3 a.m. to pray. But he's sleeping because he has been... So a guy just comes and pulls him. So he told me the other day that he set a... No, not an alarm. He doesn't need an alarm. It's the angels who wake him up. Now... He put his phone so that to see the man. You know, so the guy came and put him in. As soon as he put him, he turned the torch in it to see there is nothing. Eh? But you're feeling the man putting you, but there is nothing. Eh? So man, you wake up and say, but I'm tired. But you pray. Glory to God. Now, now there's another guy. I'm telling you all this to challenge you. Eh? You understand? Eh? That actually this is the relationship God wants with each and every one of us, eh? All of us. Like where you know, you move, like you are in control because the Lord told you this. Now, nothing comes your way that you do not understand, that you do not know. So you know this is like this, this is like this. Then he says, now be here for this time. Then time is going to come when it is time to move on. And when you move like that, you grow from strength to strength to strength. Then people see somebody has exploded and they don't know that he has been building a relationship with God for 5 years. Then the next thing you know is the next big thing in town and everybody, where did he come from? He did not come from the blue. Okay, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. With my eye. Yeah? Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle, else they will not come near you. Now, here is this, what this scripture is saying. It says that do not be like a horse. Now, there's a reason it says a horse and a mule. There are things that are unique. Now, a horse is an animal that has the tendency to want to walk, to move so fast. Eh? Now, there are some people who are like that. There are some people who, I'll give you an example. Let's say somebody has been earning a salary of 1.5 million. So, and he, like, it barely clears his bills. So he's living from salary to salary to salary to salary. If the salary delays by 2 days, he's damned. Now, then he comes and he has a message of tithe what, give tithe, tithe what. Then he says, man, I do not have any gap for tithe. Then he's convinced, okay, let me just do it. So he gets 150,000. So now his budget is 1,350,000. You understand? So now it's even tighter. But you see, it will probably be tighter for 1 or 2 or 3 months. Then, now this is what happens. If he remains, you know, faithful, then bam, suddenly he gets an increase. Then they tell him, now your salary is 3.5 million. Then he says, wow, this tithe thing works. And it does. But perhaps even more than tithe, by the tithe protects what you have. Eh? If you really want to increase it, the other way is. Eh? Now, so let's say 1.5, then he gets said, no, this time let me take off 500,000 and give towards something. Perhaps you feel led. And that's how the Lord leads you to a higher ground. Eh? He'll go for something which you can give and say, trust me, just give. Eh? Now, miraculously, by the way, now I discovered, even if you're on the tightest budget, if you obey God and give, even before the increase comes, somehow the money you have will be enough for that. The same that 1.5 was, if you give 1 million, somehow you will survive with 500,000. I don't know how God does that, but he does. Because I have experienced it. Eh? You think, how am I going to manage? Somehow you realize the month has ended. But then anyhow, so bam, they come and tell you, we've promoted you 3.5 million. Then you say, wow. So you gave, let's say, 1 million. Now your salary has been increased to 3.5 million. Now, the trouble with so many people is that now they'll be like a horse. So now you think you've found a method. Eh? So now, without obedience, then you say, now, if one million got me from 1.5 to 3.5, now let me give 1.5 so that I can go from 3.5. Then you'll give and it will not happen. Eh? Because the biggest lie of the 21st century is that there is a method to everything. Eh? That there is a methodology. Do this, get this. Eh? Do these 7 steps to success. You understand? Eh? Now, that's one of the biggest lies of our generation. That there is a method to everything. The method is in the obedience. The only reason you got that increment is you felt the Lord leading you and you obeyed. Okay? It is a reward for obedience. Now, then you feel you have to move. Now 3.5 is already, suddenly you've become greedy. Eh? Now 3.5, you've survived on a salary of 1.5 for 6 years. Now you've gone to 3.5. Sometimes the Lord might say, okay, I want you to come higher. But in most cases, it's your mind which will tell you, no, now eh? Give more. Then you give nothing. 1 year, you give nothing. You give nothing. Then you lose hope. Now, because you are like a horse, always wants to, you know, go fast. You have to actually stop it all the time because it's in, you know, forward motion. Now, a mule, on the other hand, you have to pull it. Eh? It is like this. You know, you pull, it tends towards staying where it is. So you need a lot of effort to actually get it to move. You understand? Whereas a horse, you need effort to make it stop. Now, he's saying both of them have no understanding, because understanding is going at the Lord's pace. Now, that's what he wants. Eh? Where he says, now it's time for you to move from here, go the other side. And when you commit your life to him, even the house, the what, the car, everything, you say, now you've driven this car too long. Eh? I want you to get another car. And the method will always be the same. Get something and so for the next car. If you do it in obedience, it will come as a matter of certainty. If you do it out of, you sold out of obedience, the first time you bought one car, then you say, now I don't want this, I want an ML. Eh? Then you sow, you will not get it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Now what God is teaching each and every one of us is how to go at his pace. And he has a pace. He has a way in which he operates. Eh? And it depends on how far you've learned his ways. Then he says, now it is time to go to the next level. And how do you know it? You can know it. I taught some time ago how you know that you passed that level. Okay. Number one, you start feeling uncomfortable, very uncomfortable in it. Eh? Everything points towards something. Sometimes if your time at a job is up, you start quarreling with everybody. And you think nobody likes you, but the problem is that time up, move on. Like your time there is over. Now, there are signs which show that your time in a certain place is over. And a lot of these things are scripture. Like, you've been comfortable, the Lord told you to go there, you were there, but now he's telling you to go elsewhere. Then the one time you were happy, the next time you're not happy. What used to make you happy no longer makes you happy. You no longer feel comfortable, you no longer have the desire for it. You have to, more or less discipline yourself to do the things which you once did out of joy. You understand? Or sometimes even the money to sustain it will disappear. You remember Elijah? The Lord told him, go there and I will send what? Ravens to feed you. And then there is a brook. So the ravens bring bread, he drinks the water. But when it was time up, the first thing that happens, the brook dries up. Then Elijah has to ask God. Then God says, now time for this is over. Now go to Zarephath. There is a widow whom I want, to feed you. Do you understand? Eh? Now, the trouble with most, the mules, is God told me to come here and the things will feed me. So the river dries up and the bread stops and you're still there. And then they tell you, but God told me. Yes, he did. But the time for that is over. You understand? God does not speak just once. No, you cannot go on one instruction all your life. If you're a soldier, can you go on one instruction all your life? No, you have to be deployed all the time. Now, just because God told you to go to that church doesn't mean you are supposed to die there. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are places where he takes you to teach you something. Then he says, now you've learned. Those people can no longer teach you anything. You've learned what you were supposed to learn. Now go here. Then you say, this is my church. But you're quarreling with everybody. You stand and the pastor is preaching and you're bored because now the problem is not God's. the problem is actually not the pastor's. It is yours. Amen? Glory to God. And if it's like the pastor is supposed to teach people at that level. I told you this before. Like, there are people who are meant to teach people at a certain level. Now, if you passed that level, there are preachers I used to watch on television whom I can no longer watch. Is there anything wrong with them? No. I just passed that stage. Are they teaching people? Yes. Because there will always be people at that stage. You understand? So now, if you remain in P3, and your friends go to P4, and then you wonder why the teacher in P3 is saying the same things you were saying last year. What's wrong with this guy? Can't he change? The problem is not the teacher. The problem is you. There are people who came from P2 to P3, and for them, they're enjoying it. And now the P3 teacher is going to remain a P3 teacher. You are the one who is supposed to move on. Because there will always be people in P3. True or false? True. Yes. So move on to the next class. Don't, now you get frustrated, you start getting, you know, angry, you're quarreling with everybody, and those are signs, by the way, that some time is up for something, eh? Unless you're a quarrelsome person, of which some of you are, eh? But the trouble is there are so many people who are like, there are people who are like horses, eh? I've seen so many people like that, eh? God tells you, start this kind of ministry. Then you say, yeah, by the way, now, yeah. Did you see? Uma conference hall is full. Now we should go to what? Another hall. But you have to wait upon the Lord. Eh? Now, when, if it is time to move on and you are still not moving, you will see the signs. But you'd rather not see it that way. You'd rather feed it in the spirit. Eh? But you will see the signs. You were having no problem with the people who run this place. Suddenly, they start getting angry with you. They can't stand you. They know, you understand? Eh? Now, usually, you know that time is up. I'm like a mule, okay? But then you can also be like a horse, where you say, ah, man, eh? Well, have you seen? Eh? Now, there are so many people who are like that in every area. Now, and they will never learn the beauty of moving at the pace of God, where everything is subject to him. Even your house, he says, now, move this house. Now, people, you joke. Now, I'll give you an example, still of somebody who is here and is seated looking at me. Okay. Now, there's this guy. Now, you see, God creates a relationship. Those are the things. Now, this gentleman, God told him to attend Zoe and Watchman. Only. If he decides to go to a church, man, you feel the presence. Okay, this is not instructions for everybody. I mean, this is just for that person. So he says, but you know, it's not okay. You try something else. The joy of God, of the Lord, leaves you. Eh? Now, then, but he didn't have transport. Remember the guy I told you went 4 days without eating? Eh? But he would also walk. On top of being hungry, he walks. Eh? So he would walk to Imperial Royal, where a watchman was, and then to Hilton, eh, on Tuesday, where Zoe is. Then he walks to and fro. Then he's walking, you know? And then he says, but Lord, today can't you at least give me money for a boda boda? I'm like, calm down, walk. So one day he's moving, and then he's moving, then he starts grumbling and says, but Lord, what? Then he told me that. Now, here is how the Lord builds the relationship. The Lord tells him that, I'm out of here. When you are tired of grumbling, you call me and I will come back. So as soon as he says that, the presence lifts. Now, the funny thing is when the presence of God is there, even the walking is not tiresome. Eh? It's like you're walking in a different realm. You just realize that you're going and like there is a force taking you on. Now, when he was grumbling and the presence left, now he started walking bad. Suddenly, you're using all your energy, which you have none of. So he says, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Then the presence comes back. So he walks, and the Lord is, you know, telling him things and what. Now, he told me the other day, the Lord told him, now time for walking is over. Now you've graduated to a taxi. Now, here is the beauty of walking with the Lord. Eh? Once you graduate at his pace, you will never fail to have money for a taxi. Amen? Never. As in, I'm telling you, never. Once he says you've graduated, you've entered the... Like, it will always be there somehow. You understand? Eh? Now, the day he says you've graduated to a car, you will never fail to have fuel. Now, you see people who are driving cars which they have no fuel of. They are horses. They jumped ahead of the what? If you go at his pace, whatever he tells you, if he tells you now it's time for a plane, eh, you will never fail to have things like parking fees and what, once it is the Lord who has told you now you're graduating. Eh, it will always be there. Now he's teaching you. So now after you've graduated from walking, then he tells him why it was important for him to walk. Because I needed that time with you from there. Then he even told him, when he was saying, but this walking, he told him that, don't worry, I will even bring those two people closer to you. Now, the guy stays this side of Chirek. Eh? Now, at Imperial Royal, and Zoe was at Hilton. Now, it turns out Zoe is here and we are here. But he knew that. You understand? So God tells you something ahead of time. So before I knew that we are coming here, he knew. Because God says, don't worry, very soon I will bring those people even nearer you. So that the distance to walk is shorter. Glory to God. Now, you know, these stories inspire me. Do you understand what I'm saying? They totally inspire me because you learn how to. Now, when people are unleashed, now I'm telling you, God is preparing an army of people. When he unleashes them on the world, you will see. They will have been trained through the proper school of training of how to walk with God. Amen? Not the presumption that most people have, where you're doing things out of presumption, where you have one instruction, you're a pastor, so you start a church, and that's all you ever know. You never go back to find out where am I supposed to start, you know, eh? And now, then, you can only achieve a certain level of success at the, like that, eh? Because any spiritual success, even in the world of the demonic world, is dependent on one thing: obedience. And how much God wants to have a say in. Now, do you see people who, you've seen people like that, eh? Like God has a say in everything they do, now suddenly the guy will just come and say a few words. I remember way back in the mid-90s, when we were almost, I just got in saved, then Maurice Cerullo came. Then they advertised Maurice Cerullo. So we went to Makere, Freedom Square. That's where it was. So the other preachers who come and preach, then Maurice Cerullo just comes and says a few words. Comes and says just a few words and says, the Lord told me this and that. But somehow they have a lot of life. Eh? Because they portray somebody who has walked with God. Eh? Now, have you seen the people who have jump and then pull out black handkerchief and what? Now, there is a certain, there is a way people who have walked with God actually behave, eh? Where they, like, there is no struggle. Like, a typical example is the evangelist T.L. Osborne. Like, T.L. Osborne would come to a crusade there at Lugogo, cricket, whatever. And the oldest, then the guy just comes and says, now we're inviting T.L. Osborne. Then he comes and says, praise the Lord, God is good, he loves you so much. He sent his only son, Jesus. You know, he loves you so much. Then he talks for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Eh? Man, I've never seen anything like that. Eh? You're expecting someone, the guy just comes and tells you that God loves you. Eh? And then he says, now let us pray for the sick. Now that's where you see power. power. Like now there's a certain gentleman, a friend of mine, that was around 87. No, it was actually before Museveni's regime. It was 1985. That gentleman told me he was there at that crusade and he wanted to see if a lame man can walk. So Osborne, now the guy would even put love in. He would say, let me call my wife to come and pray for the sick. Then he says, honey, can you please come and pray for the sick? Then she comes and says, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray touch each and every person here who is sick. We thank you, Lord. Amen. That's it. Now, the testimonies. People testify for almost 4 hours of miraculous things. Like, this guy told me he saw a man who was thoroughly lame, completely crippled, like this. Eh? Completely, thoroughly crippled. So they wanted to see can a lame man walk. Not even walking on sticks, completely, you know, using his hands. Eh? So they surrounded the man. Now, his wife is there, eh? Praying in what? In a romantic tone. Eh? Now they surrounded the guy. Now this gentleman told me, he's my friend, I know him actually, he works in the media. He told me he saw it with his own eyes. The guy started shaking like this, the cripple. He started shaking as if something was over him. Then he got up like this and stood on his 2 feet in front of everybody, and people were like, wow. Now, the guy has preached for 5 minutes and prayed for 30 seconds. And now the rest is up to you. Man, like, then you know somebody who knows God, eh? who has walked with God, there's no struggle. Eh? Now, you see, have you ever seen people who cast out demons for 5 hours? Eh? You know that, first of all, he has to convince himself that it can work. Then afterwards, he convinces the devil that he's convinced that he can work. Then somebody will just say, no, it's a preacher who will just say, fire! Then demons start screaming, just that. And people get delivered. Glory to God. Amen. Now, that guy, in 1985, when he came here, he went and saw, I know this because he wrote it in a certain book, he went and spoke to Obote, who was the president at the time, and told him that the Lord has told me, if you do these things, you'll stay in power. If you do not, you're going to get out of power in a matter of a few months. He must have found Obote drunk on whiskey and heavy on cigarettes. Eh? Because Obote rubbished him and told him, what, who has said? You know, the guy liked his whiskey and what? And cigarettes. That was, must have been like, must have been like beginning of 1985. I think in April that year, Obote was overthrown by the Lutuas and what? Probably mid-year, something like that. If I remember well, he was overthrown by the Lutuas. Now, Osborne wrote in his book and said he took off governments in these countries, including Uganda. In other words, he says, I have taken you off. You're not going to be president. Like, you know, as simple as that. And because of the authority, like once he speaks it, you cannot do anything in the natural to stop it. Now, people like that speak very few words. But when they speak, like it is done. Because the guy carries the authority of God because of how much he has related with him over the years. You understand? So he said, he actually mentioned so many other countries where he took off government. You have forgiven you. The other one, you're off. And he had like a VHS, you remember those things, which was done, a cassette, with the gospel according to T.L. Osborne. And he showed all the miracles that Jesus did. He showed them happening in his meetings. He would say, look this, Jesus raised the dead. Then he shows you something where he raised the dead. Look, every miracle that happened in Jesus' life, he shows you that it also happened in his life. Amen? That is called a general. You understand? Now, tomorrow's generals are now busy walking to Chireka. Glory to God. Tomorrow's generals are walking to Chireka. I'm telling you. And you will see it. You will see it with your eyes. You will see people come up. And you are like, where did this man come from? The guy even decided how he goes. His wife died. They used to do everything together. When he came here, he would jog. He used to jog in the evening. Before he goes and gets lame people walking. In the morning, rather. He wakes up in the morning and jogs. He used to stay at Serena, but Nairobi Hotel at the time. So in the morning, you see him walking, jogging up Sheraton and going down with his beard. And he was a fit guy. Then his wife died. Then he stayed. And you know men that age, because he was in his 80s, when his wife dies, like, they become disillusioned and what. So one day, he decided that he was tired of this earth. And on Valentine's Day, so the guy said, now they were relating, the people who were around him at his funeral, they said he just woke up on Valentine's Day and said, Lord Jesus, I've done everything you told me to do. I'm missing Daisy, I want to go home and see her. Daisy was his wife. And as soon as he said those words, he passed on. Like there, no sickness, no nothing. They are beyond that. Like when it is time to go, you go on your terms. Glory to God. On your terms, I'm tired of this. I want to go home and see Daisy. Like he just said those words, seated on the table, and the next thing people say, his grandchild, the guy is dead. The guy has gone. So they organize a funeral. Now, eh? That's a general. Eh? Glory to God. Eh? Now, today's generals are inside here. Eh? Tomorrow's generals, eh? Glory to God. Somebody wants to be a general. Stand up and say, I am tomorrow's general.
I am tomorrow's general.
No, say it, believing it.
I am tomorrow's general.
Amen.
Amen.
May be seated. Glory to God.
Amen.
But you see, the trouble with ministry, even like what we do here, is it's very easy to get out of ministry to the Lord and get into words. You understand? Eh? You get into routine. Now, herein is the biggest temptation. I remember C.S. Lewis wrote in one of his books, and he talks about, he used to use big devil, small devil. So he says, one big devil assigns a small devil to go and look after somebody who was supposed to become, I mean, whom they feared might become, you know, might join the enemy, which means become a Christian. So then the guy becomes a Christian, then the small devil goes and reports and says, we lost him. Then the big devil says that, how did you lose him? Then he said, every night before he went to sleep, he read a good book, and it was the last thing he did before he went to sleep. And every morning he woke up and took a walk, just that. Then we found we were losing him. Then we lost him to the enemy. Then the devil told him, the big devil, now of course this is all, you know, figures of speech. So the big devil told him, you should have convinced him to read the book so that he can quote it to other people and to take the walk for purposes of exercise. Now, have you understood that? When you start doing things, when I start reading the Bible because I have to preach, I have lost my relationship with God. Do you understand? When you start reading a book so that you can go and sound intelligent in some argument, you're actually getting nothing out of it. Now, the devil is a master of letting you do good things for the wrong motives. If you can only twist your motive a little, now, a walk in the morning, by the way, there's nothing like that brings godliness. Like just seeing the beauty of the Lord. You just walk in the morning and enjoy the things that God has done. And somehow you find that godliness is seeping into you. Now, this gentleman was lost because he did the right things for the right motives. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, the moment you start doing the right things for the wrong motives, Friday is coming. I haven't. That's why I get my Bible and get a sermon and then I come here and I am not presenting a relationship that is true in my life. I am presenting words. Okay? Now, the difference between, somebody was asking me who is a musician, telling me why is it that sometimes, now listen to this everybody, was telling me why is it that sometimes I sing, this person came to my office and is a worshiper. Sometimes you sing and you're okay. Like you finish and you can even go and run a marathon. Then other times you sing and when you finish, you're exhausted. You're thoroughly exhausted. Now here is the thing. When people speak from the spirit, like it exhausts your body thoroughly. There's nothing tiring about standing here and talking unless I'm speaking by the spirit. Why? When you're speaking by the spirit, that means when you're just getting words and they are going through you. When you're speaking by the Spirit, it's like somebody connecting a voltage, high voltage through you, and it's coming out of you. You understand? That's why, I'll give you an example. Why do you think Prophet Elvis goes and sits like this after he has finished ministering? You think it's so tiring to preach? It is not if you're not speaking from the Spirit. But if you are, it is exhausting. And I know what I'm talking about. Because after, you actually feel exhausted. Like you almost feel, like almost depressed. By the way, I'll give you an example. Like after almost every time after I finish preaching here, I feel exhausted. And not just exhausted, also almost depressed. Because there's a time actually I went home and I was thoroughly depressed. And I had to pray in tongues for 1 hour. Now, there are ways you recover from that. If you can have people make you laugh or stuff like that, things to bring you back to. Now, people who are preaching out of their mind, you can't get tired. I mean, what's so tiring about talking? Do you understand? Now, it's the same thing as worshiping. It is very easy for something which is so powerful to become routine. Jesus at the center of it all. And if you have a good voice, nobody will tell the difference. But they will. Because you cannot give what you don't have. Until you have a proper relationship with God, you cannot bring people into it. You cannot lead people where you've never been. You understand? Now, that's one of the biggest deceptions of this day. Of people thinking that you can talk things which you are not, and somehow people will be them. You can't. You cannot give what you don't have. It has to first be your life before it is you can actually bring somebody into it. You cannot convince somebody of something that you're not yourself convinced about. You understand? Now, so you find that sometimes you come into a place and you know people have worshipped. You sense the atmosphere. Okay? Then you know people have worshipped because, okay, whoever was leading worship that day was in the spirit. And he's probably tired. But other times, you come and find, and you just tell that people have not worshipped. And why? Because they are depending on their talent. They can sing. I mean, what's so special about singing? If you're as good as these people. Okay, if you are me, then you need the Lord. But if you're talented, it is so easy to draw back to your talent and lose, and then you start doing, you know, gymnastics, and it starts as a small thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It starts as a small thing, but eventually you draw further and further away from God, and then you start talking about a God whom you do not have a relationship with. Then people notice that you're dry. Now, people who once listened to you and they were blessed, who would just want to hear you 5 minutes, and you just speak 5 minutes, and people were like, wow. Now you have to talk and down, and then, amen. Now, okay, there is nothing, you know, per se wrong with that. But you can tell when somebody is. Now, I've watched, like there was a guy I was watching the other day, somebody sent me a clip. The guy is saying powerful things, but they are dry. Do you understand? Then somebody can say very simple things, but they have the spirit. And until they have the spirit, they can never change anybody. They can impress somebody for 30 minutes, that's it. And they will forget them, that's it. There is nothing that is not of the spirit that lasts, nothing. Even these songs which you see were hits in 1980s and are still hits, those songs were gotten from the spirit. Why do you think they had to, why do you think they charged Michael Jackson's doctor with murder or manslaughter, voluntary manslaughter, whatever it is they charge him with? The guy had to go in the spirit for 3 days in sleep to come up with a hit. So he gets it straight from there. Then 30 years later, people are still singing the song because it came from the spirit. Now, if you get it something from your head, it cannot, it, even if it is good. Now, I've listened to worship music. Now, there's people here who get for me worship music. I tell them I want from 1990s. Because now people have mastered the art of, you know, excellence. Perfect instruments, perfect vocals, perfect everything. Zero spirit. So you listen to the song and it is saying powerful words, but you're not inspired. Then you listen to another song and immediately whatever you're, even if you're watching TV and it plays, immediately you get in the mood of praying because it carries a spirit on it. Have you seen the songs which people sang a long time ago? Then sings my soul. And people are still singing them. Old rugged cross, what those things? From the spirit. They do not run out. That's why the words, one man who was an atheist said that he converted and he said he had to read the Bible because he said The fact that the Bible was written 2,000 years ago and is still relevant today is a bigger miracle than even the miracles that are said in the Bible. He said, because even books that were written in the 1970s, after 10 years, people move on. You understand? Books which were supposed to be very powerful books in the 1970s. By now, nobody has forgotten. But 2,000 years, and by the way, it is the worldwide bestseller every year. Every year. For 400 years, since 1611, when the Old King James was translated to English. In other words, every year, that year alone, no book sells more than the Bible. Every year, every single year, there has not been any that even comes close. So now this man said, how can a book written so long ago still be relevant right now? Why? Spirit. Do you understand? The word, because they are the words of God now. They don't run out. Anything that is of spirit does not have a time limit. Because things that are spirit are eternal. Amen? Now, if somebody wrote it out of his head, even Shakespeare, how many people still read Shakespeare? And those were powerful words, weren't they? But now, are you going to find your millennial child reading Shakespeare? They have no time for that crap. But somehow, over the 400 years since 1611, since the English Bible, since the Bible was translated to English, King James, every year bestseller, for that year, not collectively, for that year. So in other words, in 2016, the best-selling book in the world was the Bible. And in 2015, the best-selling book in the world was the Bible. So, why? Spirit. Not talent. Not even something as simple as... Glory to God. Now, when you learn how to be led of the Spirit, whatever level you are, amen? In your business, small things, where should I take, Lord, where should I take my child to school? Now, you start small like that, and he starts having an involvement in every part of your life. Then it grows bigger and bigger, until you even get to a time where he tells you when you should eat and when you shouldn't eat. Okay. Anyway. But every small detail. Now, when you get to that level, nobody can stop you from achieving certain levels of... Because people look out for the Spirit. Now, in whatever you're doing, now, this guy who is following the Spirit in money is not a preacher. He sells hardware. But the Spirit is there. Now, for you, a lawyer, he's there. You do your thing with anointing. There's an anointing to accomplish that what you're doing. You're a hairstylist. Do you know God can even give you unique style? Like, he wants every part of your life. You don't have to be a preacher. Glory to God. And actually, he wants every one of his children in these last days to get to this point where it is not just words. Because words, anybody can talk. You understand? It's not where you have a sense of, you know, even when people are ministering, you have a sense of, now, God will tell you things before they come to pass, briefly, just so that you know. I remember way back when I was learning out here, the voice of God. One day I was seated outside my compound and I was praying. And now the clouds gathered and it was really, really coming to rain. Very heavy rain, you know, like it's thundering and what. So I was still praying. So I was praying. Then I immediately thought, I think I should get into the house. Because it's going to start raining. Then I heard him say that it will not rain until you're through praying and you enter the house. So actually he told me, you're the one who is stopping that rain. So he says, you pray until you're tired, then it will rain. So I wasn't sure it was him. So how do you test? By what happens? So I prayed for like another 1.5 hours. I don't know, maybe less, I don't know. I don't remember. Then I prayed, and it was thundering, not a single drop. The minute I picked up my chair and stepped into the house, it came down. Then I knew that was God. Now, that's small things. He will tell you things which you can verify the next minute so that you are learning his voice. You understand? You're learning his voice. He doesn't start by telling you big things, go and preach the gospel in China. No. It's the same as you telling your child, "Ndetere chikopo echo." And the purpose of you telling him is you want him to learn. Eh? So if he goes and brings the cup, then you know, okay, he can understand that. Eh? You can get the cup. You don't need to send the child. Eh? But you're trying to understand. Eh? Jangu, genda. You understand? Eh? And now that's what God does. He'll tell you small things, which are just to train you. Then eventually it becomes very clear. Now, when you train yourself in this, it will be the most important thing you'll ever learn. Skill is that. Because in the days in which we are going, it is not going to be optional. It is going to be compulsory. And you'll not be able to run there and say seven ways to success. There will be one way. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I told him there are no seven ways to success. There's only one way. And he told, so he looked at me and said, "Which way is that?" Because I know he's fond of those things. Seven ways, 10 ways, what? You know that gospel, eh? So he looked at me and told me, "Which way is that?" I told him, Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Eh? Like, as if you learn that, success is guaranteed. Do you understand? Eh? Now, the reason people struggle. Somebody has graduated from walking to a taxi. But one day you graduate into a plane. And he will never struggle. Never. Like when God says, past, next stage. Like he's the one who takes care of that stage. Not your struggle. Nothing you do, eh? Nothing you do. Now, I've seen people like, I was watching Kenneth Hagin one day on TV. It was a rare occasion because he rarely came onto TV. Eh? So we only ever saw him on, later on, after we saw him later on YouTube, eh? But we read his books. So he was on TV and they were interviewing him. So a man says, "Man, why don't you go to TV? Eh? Do you know how many people you can reach on TV and what and all those things?" Then he just says, "Hey, okay. But I knew him so well that I knew what he was thinking. Eh? Like, I don't go to TV because I can reach many people. I go to TV because the Lord has told me to go to TV. Now, when the Lord tells you to go to TV, you will not have to spend 25 of the 30 minutes telling people, "Give if you want us to stay on air. Give, bring what if you want to." You understand? Eh? When God says go there, he sustains you there. Have you ever seen, you've watched these Christian televisions, and then you see some people who they are always there. They have, in 30 minutes, they have 4 breaks. They talk for 5 minutes, let's go for a break. Then I say, "What? We bring money? What? You know this, this, this?" Then they come back. Then he talks for 2 minutes, break, and money. Then you will see others, eh? Like Andrew Womack. He just comes and talks. He does not even talk about money. But do you know who is the number one person in terms of collecting money among those television preachers? Andrew Womack. The one who does not talk anything about it. Now there are others who, "We are getting off air. If you don't bring money, we are..." Now, what makes the difference? One was taken there by God. So if God took me there, eh, it is his responsibility to sustain me there. If I went like a horse, and I left God behind, and he's those ends, I'm those ends and God is here, then it is actually my responsibility to sustain myself there. Now, when you've seen a life of struggle, people who are doing things in struggle, in whatever, even Jobs and what, all these things, once you let the Lord lead you and you know I am here by the will of God, like you have nothing to fear. It is his responsibility to sustain you there, not yours. Eh? For you are just a child. You know, somebody who is in ministry came, the first time we came here, and the other first time July, and came and said, "But man, your ministry, you started the other day, now it has grown. How do you want?" And I could see he's looking for a method, eh? Which is the biggest temptation. How do you ochkolotia? Eh? So I told him, like, "I am just a child hearing the Father. When he says do this, I do it." Amen? No pressure. No pressure. None whatsoever. I just hear the Lord. Eh? If I, the only thing that really, really have to be sure about is, did I hear right? And sometimes I would even go and ask certain people, "The Lord is telling me this. What do you think about it?" Spiritual people, and they would say, "Yeah, I feel it is right." Then once I have ascertained it is God, no pressure. It is not my responsibility to pay any bill. Amen? None. It is not. It is his. If he's the one who brought me. Now, if I am the one who brought myself, that's a different story. Now, some of you are being trained for big things. Now, those who have not yet gotten into this thing, the reason I've told you this is because it's pointless for us to tell you that we are living in the end times. Remember, Jesus said that, you know, you'll be persecuted, you'll come from people. Then he says, but do not set it in your heart what you will speak when you come to appear before them. Because the spirit who is in you will speak at that very hour. Amen? Now, there's a time I used to go and prepare sermons. I prepare a sermon, and then I come and preach. Then I've actually preached very well, but you can sense that people are not touched. When you are spiritual, you can tell that I missed it. I'm not supposed to have said, you can tell. So you go home and you're not happy. First of all, because you preached out of your head, you go and you can run a marathon after preaching. Because there was nothing coming through you. You're not tired at all. Like, you are just talking. Talking. You are in jazz. So, then I say what? Then I read the scripture in Psalms 19, verse 2, which says, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Okay? Then I realized that if I prepare a sermon for today, yesterday, it is yesterday's sermon. Every day brings its own sermon. You understand? Day unto day utters what? Speech. So, if they tell me you're going to preach somewhere next week, I cannot start preparing what I'm going to preach now. Because it will be for now, not for next week. Now, when I go there and talk, I'll be talking last week's things at that time. So what do? I just chill. As in when I'm reading the script, I'm just reading to learn. I'm not reading to preach. So does that mean I read the Bible, I learn, I do what? I say, wow, you know the Lord reveals these things to me and what? Then on the day that I stand up, sometimes end times I have to prepare. So you see me writing notes because of the information and all that. But when I'm not preaching end time, there's nothing. I don't even know what I'm going to preach until I start. That's how I can be sure that I'm speaking out of flow, like not crammed stuff. Anyway, so one day somebody invites me to preach. So I go there and I say, so I'm there worshiping and I'm telling God what? And at that moment, I keep my mind empty. I don't think of anything about the word of God. I keep it empty. I'm teaching you how to move in flow. So I keep my mind completely empty. Now, then the guy says, you know, we are privileged today to have the watchman. I'm hearing him like from a distance, yet I'm sitting in front of him. But because I'm asking God, what? And now I'm looking in my spirit, not my mind. So they worship, they sing a song, then they say, let's invite the watchman. Then I stand on the pulpit, and as soon as I stood there, the whole message was downloaded at that moment. Now, when that happens, I know that the people are blessed. I don't have to ask anybody. I know, because it's not from my mind. It was downloaded at that moment. That's what Jesus said. When they call you, do not meditate on hand what you are going to say. You know that scripture, eh? It says the Spirit himself will speak to you, will speak through you at that time. Then you will speak words which you'll even give examples, and all the examples you're giving are for people who are in the congregation. Eh? You're not just talking. You say, for instance, this person who did this, and the person is there, then they will come and tell you, you know that is exactly me. How? Because the Spirit was speaking through you. So then I used to struggle sometimes because you feel there is something you want to overcarcass. Then one day the Lord showed me this scripture. John chapter 7, verse 18. You see what he told me? I was battling with the Lord. He wanted me to preach something else. But because I had put this thing in my mind, if I preached a message, I don't want to preach it again. But God was saying, I want you to preach that. I said, but I preached it twice already. He said, I want you to preach that. Then I had a new one, fresh, which I wanted to unveil. Then I was battling with him. Then this is the scripture. Immediately, he just showed, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. I said, what? So I said, okay, I will preach what you want me to preach. because I had the battle. Do I speak what I want or what he wants? Now he says, he who speaks of himself seeks his own glory. And am I seeking my own glory? No. So I said, okay, I have accepted. Now I preached it. I can tell you, people have talked about it so many times, and yet I was actually, I did not prep nothing. I just stood there and started talking, and things were coming. They said, I've finished. And everybody looked at me like this, because it wasn't me speaking. You understand? If I'd preached the one I wanted, it would have been me speaking. Glory to God. Now, so if you really want to follow God, don't get into talent. You understand? You can be good at what you're doing. And that's what distinguished David. David asks God, should I go and attack the Philistines? God says, go. Then he asks him again, another time now. Should I go and attack the Philistines? God says, go. Then the third time, should I go and attack the Philistines? And I'm thinking, what's wrong with this man? The first time he said go, the second time he said go. Can't you just go? But the third time, God said, don't go. Now, that's what makes him unique. Because for him, he knew about a relationship with God and dependence. Total dependence on the Lord. Dependence on God. We are depending on him for whatever things. Even in your business, in your workplaces, at what. You can say, now, God, I'm surrendering this job to you. Now, from this time onwards. That's what Paul says. First Thessalonians. Servants, obey your masters in all things. Not as service to men. Not as I serve. What does it say? Okay. First Thessalonians 4. I don't know. Is that? Anyhow. But it says, not as unto men, but as unto God. Where you're working for men, you're working for a company, but God says work as if you're working for God. That means you don't cheat them of their time. You understand, as unto the Lord. Then he says, because from him, from the Lord, you receive your reward. Glory to God. So now you are going to become God-dependent. If you want to be tomorrow's general, the first lesson number one, is this. Go to 6:5. Bond servants, or you can say employees, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Go ahead. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, even at your workplace, when you do something good, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. In other words, whether he's an employee or... translating it to today's language. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So tomorrow's generals, say, I am tomorrow's general.
I am tomorrow's general.
Say, I am tomorrow's general.
I am tomorrow's general.
Say, I walk with the Lord.
I'm in the school of the Lord.
I attend the training of the Lord.
I am dependent on the Holy Spirit.
For everything,
I depend on the Holy Spirit.
Now pray and say, Heavenly Father,
in the name of Jesus,
I ask you to teach me how to depend on you. Teach me how to depend on you. I want to trust and obey and trust you with all my life. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each and everyone whose heart is with those words. I thank you that from this day onwards, we shall not worship from our minds, but we shall worship from our spirits. We shall not sing songs of worship when we are not worshiping. We shall sing songs of worship coming from our heart, and we worship. We shall not say prayers when our hearts are not there. We shall pray, we shall praise, we shall be thankful, we shall seek an intimate relationship with you. And above all, we shall seek to go at your pace. We shall not be slow like a mule, neither shall we be too fast like the donkey. But we shall be as those who have understanding, those who move at the pace of the Lord and who trust you to take them from glory to glory to glory to glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe that today I'm going to go and try to stir up something inside you. Amen? Amen? I just want to show you two scriptures before I end, before these people. The first one is in 1 Timothy. This one's now the Lord is just telling me to show you. 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you. To do what? To stir it up. In other words, it's inside you. All of you. Amen? It is up to you to stir it up. I'll give you an example. You see Gabriel here, you first come here. Huh? You see Gabriel here. You see him. Amen? Now, Gabriel has the ability to be a kanyama. Okay? There are muscles somewhere inside him. If he went to the gym, he would stir them up. Do you understand? Eh? So the difference between him and the kanyama is the what? The gym. So the gym is what makes him stir up the muscles. The muscles are somewhere inside there. Eh? So you need eyes of faith now to see them. But when he goes to the gym, he stirs it up. Now, that's what the Spirit... There are things which are inside you, buried inside you, which you have to... It's your responsibility to stir them up, not God's. He put it inside you. Now, there are things which you will do which will stir up and people see, this man has a gift in this. Okay? That's the one scripture. The second one is in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Eh? 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Amen? To be what? Diligent to make your own call and election sure. So God has called you to do something, but it is your diligence which makes people see and say, surely this man is a prophet. Okay? You were a prophet all along, but when you add diligence, when you add an effort and you do these things that I'm telling you, you make your call and election sure. So that everybody now can say, surely this person is an apostle. But were you an apostle before? Yes. But you were a careless apostle until you become diligent. So be diligent to make your own call and election sure. Amen? Okay. Now, those are the words for today.